isn't enough. You need to describe what you are doing, and you need to explain why you are doing it. And Christian Smith's research says as much. While there are a number of things that parents can do to influence their kids' faith, talking to their kids about faith during the week has the most significant impact. Talking to your kids about your faith during the week has a more significant impact than anything else you might do. That's not to say you shouldn't do the other things. It's sort of cumulative, but that needs to be core. And you ask, why might this be? What is it about talking to your kids about your faith? Smith offers this helpful kind of comparison, saying that growing in faith is a lot like the work that goes into learning a second language, right? Like, you can watch TV in another language and be surrounded by native speakers and read all sorts of books, but that will never make you fluent. You just have to practice speaking. And if you practice speaking once a week for an hour, you'll never get there. And so belief, this life of faith that we are inviting the next generation into, it has to be practiced in a sustained and daily way. And one of the core practices of faith transmission, and also, it turns out, language acquisition, is regular conversation. We learn our faith by talking about it. We own our faith by talking about it. Again, I don't know how many times you want me to point out how brilliant and wise Moses was, but did you notice his specific advice? He says, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Deuteronomy 6, we heard Carrie read this for us earlier. This is when you should talk about your faith with your kids. It's the first thing that you should talk about when you get up every day, and the last thing you should do before going to sleep each night. And it's what you ought to do whenever you're just kind of hanging around the house or simply on your way to do anything. It's pretty practical in terms of the when. But what? What should we talk about? One time, some young parents were asking me about how to talk about Jesus with their kids, and I asked them, in what ways have you seen or experienced Jesus at work in your life this week? And they both just stared at me. So I asked a different question, maybe an easier one. What are you reading in your Bible this week? And they both just kept staring at me. So I asked another one, when was the last time that you prayed, and what did you pray about? These parents have a couple of set prayers that they pray, but nothing really personal, nothing specific. And so I told the parents that, I mean, we talk about the things that matter to us. We talk about the things that make a difference in our daily lives. We talk about the things that we're thinking about, the things that we're invested in. And so I told these parents, if Jesus isn't real to you, not an active part of your life, if you're not listening to the scriptures and paying attention to God's spirit, you're not gonna have much to talk about. And so start there. And then just start talking about what you're learning and discovering as you open your life to Jesus. Again, Moses is just really practical on this issue. He notes, we heard it earlier, that your kid might ask you about the testimonies, or she might ask you about the statutes and the rules, which is just a really simple way of saying your kid might ask you about some of the things that God has done and some of the things that God has commanded. I mean, just for like a moment, consider, when would you exhaust those two categories? Like, when would you get tired of or finish talking about all of the things that God has done or the things that God has commanded? Sometimes it might be as simple as just telling stories of what God has done. Many of you know Taylor Austin, grew up in our church. And I've heard him share many times about the way that his dad, Bob, would tell him Bible stories before bed. And no picture books were needed, just stories that were some of Bob's favorites, the ones that he had learned and loved. And he would told them in ways that communicated to Taylor that these stories were important to his dad. I mean, think of all the stories that we tell every day, the things that that we just talk about along the way. What would it look like for Bible stories to make their way into our regular conversations in the car and at the dinner table, and for this to be normal and natural? Like, imagine what would happen if after hearing some news or in the middle of some conflict or loss, you just said, that reminds me of the time where God showed up for fill in the blank, right? Moses expects parents to be telling the stories of what God has done for his people. And Moses expects that kids will do what they do best. And so kids, we need you to do this for us, which is ask all the questions. Keep asking the questions. And Moses expects parents to be ready and keep being ready. And when you find yourself not ready, to go and figure out how to be ready and come back and be ready, whatever it takes to engage your kids in the questions that they're asking, to be able to answer, like, what do these things mean? What do these stories and commands mean? Why do they matter? What difference do they make in our lives? Our kids need us to answer those questions. And Moses just expects that we'll be talking about these things with our kids all the time. And so let me try to imitate Moses here for a moment and make something that we do on a weekly basis explicit with words. And this is the kind of thing that you might do at any point in your daily life. You might do it leaving worship. The last 3 months or so, like, we've been giving you and your families testimonies to talk about each week. As we read the Apostles' Creed together, we are highlighting the different things that God has done, making the heavens and the earth, being born of the Virgin Mary, suffering under Pontius Pilate, being crucified, dying, and being buried, rising again on the third day. All of these testimonies are low-hanging fruit. What does any of it mean? Why does it matter in your life that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried? How does it shape who you are that he was raised again on the third day? What does it mean that we testify to a belief in the life everlasting? Kids, that's what we heard this morning, right? The life everlasting. We say we believe in it. So on the drive home today, ask your parents, what does that mean? Why do we believe that? Ask them all the questions. And parents, do your best. Good luck. I'll be praying for you. But it's not just about the testimonies for Moses. It's also about the statutes and the rules. And we should be able to point. This is a skill that we ought to be developing, enabled by the Holy Spirit, to point to any rule that we are living by, whether it's a rule that we have for our own lives, a rule that we have for our family, for our home, for our church, and we should be able to explain why. What's it there for? What's it good for? How is this rule helping me to know God more deeply? And because God said it is rarely going to be enough. And Moses goes well beyond that in Deuteronomy. As you're reading, listen to the rationale that Moses gives again and again. Kids need us to show them how a rule reveals God's heart and character. They need us to explain why a rule helps restore God's world to its purpose and its design. It's something I'm trying to model every single time we gather around the table for communion. Right? Jesus told us, Jesus commanded us, do this in remembrance of me. But hopefully you've noticed that I almost never just bring us to the table and repeat familiar words and then move on. I do bring us to the table and I do repeat familiar words, but I almost always say something about why. Why are we coming to the table? What is it about the gospel that we heard that morning? What is it about the passage of scripture that we heard and the specific call that shapes us, that invites us, that brings us to the table? What does this all mean? Is there a point to it? Or are we just engaging in empty ritual? We're not. It's full of meaning. But it's our job to fill this act with meaning. It has meaning, but kids don't necessarily know that until we name it. There is a profound reality that in the same way that God spoke words and filled the heavens and the earth, that we actually made in God's image, when we speak, we fill the earth. We fill symbols with meaning. Now, we carry a huge responsibility to make sure that we're filling it with the meaning that God intended. But that's still happening. So, let me give you all a challenge. This goes for parents. This goes for non-parents. Here's what I want you to do. Try to explain each part of our worship service. Just at some point, maybe it's after service today, maybe it's later, maybe it's in conversation with me or somebody else. Like, just challenge yourself to go, I'm going to talk our way through what we do in service and explain each part and what it means. Some of you, like, don't even know that we do this, but for 3 minutes before service starts, there's music playing and there are quotes and Bible verses up on the screen. Why do we do that? What's the value of it? What does it mean? What does it do for us? What's the importance of the welcome? Do you ever notice anything specific that I do during that time? Why do we sing songs? Why did Pastor David and Nate select the songs that we sang on any given week? What do the songs mean? What's the story they're telling? Why those specific songs together? Why are kids with us in worship? Why do we take up offering the way we do? Why do we usually sit during the reading of Scripture? If you find yourself not being able to answer these questions, that's okay. It's so easy to just sort of move through life and things happen and we like routines and it's comfortable, but it's time to care about the things that we are doing, to learn for yourself what they mean and why they're important, and then to pass it along, to talk about it, to talk about what God has done. Almost every part of our worship service announces something that God has done every week. And to talk about what God has commanded, almost every part of our worship service points us toward God's command to love Him and our neighbors. Element by element, could you talk about what we've done in worship, why it matters, and what difference it makes in your life? That's my challenge for you. And my hope, my prayer is that as you enter into that reflective challenge, that you find yourself being inspired, drawn into worship more deeply, a greater sense of what it looks like to meet God in purposeful ways. And maybe also then to say, what does it look like day to day to reflect on some of the things that we're doing in our homes and in our lives? As we come to the table this morning, I would prefer that we don't have a quiet room. I want this to be the kind of feast where we talk at the table. And so, parents, feel free as we prepare for communion, to talk to your kids. Maybe it's before you come up to get the elements. Maybe it's after you return. Elders in the faith, maybe there's someone younger in the faith for you to talk to today, to encourage them, to tell them where you've seen God at work, what it looks like for you to follow him. Whatever it is, we are brothers and sisters, one family, and we have been tasked with pastoring the next generation. And so let's do that as we talk about the things that God has done and the things that God has commanded.